Good morning. Thanks for joining me on hour two of the Meg Ellison Show. My next guest this morning is the CEO of the Institute for Reforming Government, CJ Safer. Good morning, CJ. How are you?
Meg, happy Friday.
Thank you. Right back at you. It couldn't come soon enough, let me tell you.
Oh my gosh, a beautiful weather weekend, long weekend, Memorial Day weekend. So it's just very, very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I neglected to ask you. I saw your area code pop up, but are you actually located in the belly of the beast, Madison?
No, I'm not. I'm located in the belly of the beast in Wauwatosa, right outside of Milwaukee. IRG itself is pretty virtual, expanding really all throughout Fox Valley into Madison, into Milwaukee. We do have offices in the belly of the beast, though.
And now on the airwaves in the Wausau area, central Wisconsin. So let's start by talking about your organization for our listeners that are not familiar with Institute for Reforming Government, how it got started. You're the big cheese there, so I hope you know.
Well, thank you. It was really about 3 years ago to the week that I left an incredibly fun job and successful organization. I was the executive vice president at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. I'm sure many of your listeners know them. They sue the left, and they're incredibly successful at it. I was hired to build out IRG. IRG was founded by former Governor Scott Walker and some of his allies of how do we create like an outside group that can really be in tune with the state of Wisconsin, advance conservative policies, and get them enacted into law. So I made the leap of faith about 3 years ago. Started out as the first full-time employee, and the only one at the time, gradually building out our organization, IRG, and then also our partner organization, IRG Action. And to now we have 8 full-time employees. And what IRG does is we build bridges. We build bridges across the state of Wisconsin. We try to amplify voices, connecting people with policy, and we try to get results. And that means we want to be an organization that helps all Wisconsinites, give them the opportunity to realize the American dream and to be to fulfill their God-given potential. And we do that through advocating for policies that are limited government and free market. But we also do that by traveling the state and listening to groups and community leaders and really trying to be a good ambassador to the people of Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is such a rich state with so many different types of people, so many different types of communities. It's a heck of a job, and I have a ton of fun.
Gosh, I'll put my application in. It does sound like a great organization. So, well, just kidding. So I wanted to let's talk about this recent report that you put out. It's a community engagement report called What Wisconsin Wants. What did you find out when you were traveling around the state?
Yeah, so this idea came from a book that I read in 2006 in Florida. Before he was prominent of riding the Tea Party wave, then Speaker of the Florida Assembly, Marco Rubio, Speaker Rubio realized that the Florida legislature needed new ideas and they wanted to be more in tune with the people. So Speaker Rubio traveled the state of Florida really just listening to different people, and then he produced a book that was 100 ideas from the people of Wisconsin, from the people of Florida to reform Florida. So what we did, my outreach team and I, in the last year and a half, is we did a similar project. We traveled the state of Wisconsin. We traveled 5,000 miles going into 20 cities and holding over 40 listening sessions where we didn't do anything but just sit down and just listen and learn. We didn't really pitch much. We just let community leaders, people of faith, school board members, teachers, small business owners, manufacturers, farmers, people that kind of we thought like represented the backbone of the state of Wisconsin. And we just listened to them of what challenges they face, and we started to kind of brainstorm some possible solutions. And recently we've released a report called What Wisconsin Wants. That's kind of the beginning of this hopefully long project. And we really just documented some of the problems. And, you know, I have to say, Meg, I mean, one of the biggest takeaway that I had is that Wisconsin is still in a bit of a crisis. I mean, we have, through a number of issues, some of them long stemming, some of them because of the results of lockdowns and COVID, that Wisconsin has major issues in mental health. We have major issues with drugs, issues with a school system that prevents human flourishing. And really just, we heard a lot of complaints from the business side of it, of just workforce issues. And we just don't have enough people people working. So I'm happy to elaborate on any of this, but it really was something that I came away thinking that, you know, getting beyond poll numbers and numbers pertaining to GDP or employment rates or surplus numbers. But really, when you talk to people, a lot of people are hurting. A story that I'll never forget is we sat down with a principal and a school board member and teachers of a rural school district in northeastern Wisconsin. I have to withhold the name. But we sat down with them, and there was a fifth grade teacher that told us a story of how mental health has been a big issue in her fifth grade class. But then she said one out of every three students in the fifth grade has attempted suicide. So one out of every three students has attempted some sort of self-harm. And then when you take a step back and when you hear that kind of story in that type of rural area, you know, you start to really think of the magnitude of the situation where you have kids that have mental health issues, some of which are, you know, trying to inflict self-harm. And then you have the issues of broken homes because of drugs. Then you have the issues that the school system itself just isn't capable of providing like mental health treatment. You can start to kind of think of some of these challenges that we need our lawmakers to start to address.
Gosh, I'm kind of speechless because I would imagine that wasn't what you were expecting when you set out to travel around and hear about what I think you characterize as kitchen table issues. I guess that does apply. But nonetheless, I suppose you were looking more at policy, I don't know, government type issues. And this isn't one that really comes to mind. So obviously, based on that information, did you rush right back to Madison and reach out to some of our legislators and say, hey, this mental health is a huge problem in this state?
Yeah, well, you're certainly right in the first part. I to be honest, so we talked to maybe 15 to 20 different groups of people in education, trying to get, education is so diverse in Wisconsin, but we really did try to span the spectrum of sector and geography. But I really expected when we met with public schools and teachers to be hearing a lot about, you know, funding, right? We need more money. And of course, everyone wants more money. But honestly, it was more of the mental health issue, more of a issue with social media. I think there was one principal that said the most impactful thing that can be done to improve education is to ban social media. And, you know, whether that's legal or possible, I did think that was a really interesting insight to some challenges that some school leaders have. But no, We're right now just sitting down with members of Congress and also members of the state legislature who are, of course, locked in to a state in their state budget debate. But we're starting to kind of walk them through some of these things that we're learning. Really just going to kind of focus that throughout the summer. We are working with lawmakers, our partner organization, IRG Action, which is where we do our government affairs. We are working on a mental health bill, which would essentially allow more telehealth by allowing, because I think one thing we learned is that we just don't have enough mental health practitioners, especially in rural Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Think of that school where you have all these kids that need to see someone for mental health, but there's just not enough people in the area. So we're working on a bill that would allow more telehealth, allow more people from other states to essentially like telehealth in, which at least I think is a short-term fix for just not having enough mental health practitioners.
Gosh, you know, there's a lot of ideas swirling around in my head, and I just think about freedom comes at quite a price. And, you know, when you suggested, or this principle I believe you cited, suggested that social media should be banned for kids. I mean, think of it, and it's something that I guess I don't think about as much as I ought to, but I mean, I, as an adult, am annoyed constantly by social media. I mean, if I didn't have to use it for work, I wouldn't use it. But imagine how difficult it must be for a kid, especially, I mean, putting yourself in their shoes. And I never had, obviously, social media didn't exist. The internet hadn't been invented. Computers hadn't been invented when I was a kid. No, haha. But, you know, it's just amazing to me the challenges that young people, kids face, and how our government hasn't really prioritized mental health. And I mean, what could be more important? What could be more significant across the board, whether you're a child or an adult? Mental health.
I agree completely. Kids these days are growing up more different than our generation, than really, you know, any other generation before it, right? I mean, when you think of the differences of what you just said, when we grew up versus kids now, they're constantly on their phones. They're constantly on social media. When we talked to some teachers in Kenosha, I mean, one of their, you know, they had two major complaints. One is, you know, and these were teachers at Kenosha Public Schools that said, you know, no one, you know, kids can't read. And, you know, we're now being about, you know, we've taken all these kids who come from a different grade level, and they're being advanced throughout the system, and they just can't read. And, you know, after third grade, you can't read. You're basically lost into the system. But the second thing that they said is social media, bullying is awful, but there would always be, you know, when we grew up, a break from bullying, right? You know, people would go home on the weekend. You'd have a family. Nowadays, the bullying on social media never ends. There's no escaping bullying. And I think when you just try to think of being a high school student or even now a middle school student, you can kind of think of some of these things. I mean, these are some of the number one educational challenges, I think, that the state of Wisconsin faces.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, even us adults are subjected to it. I just was reading a really kind ha-ha message from someone that evidently listens to the program that doesn't like it. Well, you know, there's a solution for that. But anyway, I digress. So what do you see the issues that you've uncovered in your travels throughout the state of Wisconsin? Do you see bipartisan support on reform?
Well, so look, I mean, when we talk to business leaders, when we talk to small businesses, touring places like Wapaka Foundry, or whether it's manufacturers in the Fox Valley, I mean, well, they're honest about it. There's two issues that they care about: getting more workers and getting rid of the income tax. I mean, I think for us in the free market world, you know, taxes are a big deal. And to some extent, you know, I can't help the fact that there's such a ideological divide in taxes and spending. But when you talk about things like childcare, mental health, cost of healthcare, drugs and opioids, I do think there is bridges that can be divided there. I think that most Wisconsinites agree on most things. And I think these kitchen table issues, I think there's really an opportunity for Republicans and Democrats to maybe not get everything that they want, but to solve some of these things in the next couple of years, because we are in divided government for the time being. You look at the Democrats. I mean, Evers has called this the year of mental health. Obviously, Democrats in the state legislature want to spend big on childcare, spend big on mental health. And we're not going to sit here and say that those are always the best usages of money, because spending doesn't always lead to outcomes. Mm-hmm. But it is obviously a signal of where their priorities are. I think on the Republican side, I think conservatives, we just haven't had a lot of solutions to these issues. And that's something that we're going to be working on, which is like, what is the free market limited government solution to child care or cost of health care or mental health or drugs and opioids? I think there is starting to become at least an agreement in Wisconsin of what the problems are. I think that's actually a really healthy step forward.
So let's leave this, and that is a positive note, what you just said. Do you have legislators in mind that, or have you already partnered with legislators that are working on some of these issues that you've uncovered?
Oh, yeah. I'll keep some of their names until they're ready to roll the things out. But we've certainly been working with legislators on a number of things. We have had very good meetings with legislative leadership. I think that, on the optimistic side, again, I think most Wisconsinites agree on most things. I think that sometimes even applies to a lot of members of the legislature when you get behind closed doors. It's just that sometimes we have incentives the media that wants to create division. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when you get down to it, I think, we all agree on a lot of things, and it's kind of incumbent on us at IRG and other groups and members of the legislature to figure out what those solutions are.
Yeah, if they can commit to making decisions and sticking to them. And I feel like if that were a bipartisan effort, I think it would go a long way, because honestly, it shouldn't always have to be about spending money, which is, of course, you said the Democrats, that's their solution to everything. But if we can just unite around resolving some of these issues, or at least working toward the resolution of some of these issues, especially with mental health and then also even addiction issues. But, well, CJ, we barely scratched the surface, so I hope you'll come back and we can have additional chats. Maybe we'll make this a regular gig and you can check in and let me know what's going on with your organization, and let me know how our listeners can rattle the cages of our legislators to ensure that they're working on these important issues.
No, thank you. Really appreciate your time. I'll certainly take you up on the offer, and enjoy the long weekend.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm so glad I learned a new Polish last name, Safer. It's not at all spelled like it sounds, but I'm delighted by it, because my Polish grandma would be proud. Well, I hope you have a wonderful weekend yourself. And thanks again for your time and all your efforts on behalf of the Institute for Reforming Government. And before I let you go, what's your website URL?
We're at reforminggovernment.org.
Great. CJ Safer, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government. Thank you so much again for joining me. And again, have a wonderful weekend.
Take care.
Thanks. Going to go to a break, rolling right into the 9:30 news, followed by your calls on the other side, 715-845-2155 on the Megha Elefson Show.